Well, the cost of living package was unveiled today, around €1.3 billion. Christina, deep breath. What's in the package?
Yeah, so much of what was kind of already predicted. So we're seeing the €100 extra in child benefit, a €200 lump sum for social welfare recipients. You're not going to see that electricity credit that a lot of people might have been hoping for. That's not happening now. You know, we have some changes to the business support scheme that's being tweaked because there's a lot of problems with that, and you know, lowering the threshold so that more businesses can come online with it. VAT, hospitality, a big one. Lots of lobbying done on TDs and politicians over the last number of weeks to keep that at the 9%, and that is being extended out throughout the summer months. And we have the 9% as well on the electricity and gas bills, which is staying put as well. So I think I have everything there.
Yeah, and on reaction to it... today
yeah.
was?
I think much of what was expected from opposition saying, you know, this probably doesn't go far enough. You know, the government were kind of out the last number of weeks just dampening down expectations that this wasn't a mini budget, they were saying, that they didn't have the same amount of money that they had last time, and very much hammering home the message now that this is the final cost of living support package before the budget, that they're not going to be drawn into any more you know, additions over the summer months. Whether that happens, we'll have to wait and see.
All right, okay. Well, I'm joined on the line by Colette Bennett, economic and social analyst with Social Justice Ireland. Colette, you've had a chance to have a look over the €1.3 billion package that was unveiled today. What do you think would have been a better alternative to some of the measures that were taken? Because you had concerns about some of the social welfare measures being one-off payments rather than long-term rate adjustments.
That's right, and this is really just more of the same. So after Budget 2023 was announced, we immediately came out and said, you know, for those who are on low incomes, those who are the most marginalised, we're seeing one-off token measures, with the longer-term, more permanent measures being directed at those on much higher incomes. And we expected that there would be more needed in the months to come. And we've been proved right, of course, here, unfortunately. What this is doing today is the government is tacitly acknowledging that Budget 2023 was grossly inadequate for those on low incomes. What would have been much better, much preferable, was if they had actually introduced the increase that had been sought, not just by ourselves, but across the civil society sector, for the core social welfare rates to be increased by €20 a week. What was given in Budget 2023 instead was €12 a week, which is a real term decrease in terms of what you can actually spend, of €8 a week. So what we were asking was just to stand still. This is the government acknowledging that Budget 2023 didn't go far enough and still isn't going far enough. We've got a €200 one-off measure. That's very welcome in that week that it comes. But unfortunately, these cost of living measures aren't going anywhere. They're happening every week in the shopping. They're every month in your bills. These people are not even keeping the head above water at this point. So we're very disappointed that the longer term measures weren't actually put in place that would really help people rather than, again, kind of crumbs on the table.
OK. And what would you like? You wanted something done for renters as well.
Yeah, so again, Budget 23, we saw two €500 tax credits, one for last year, one for this year. Those tax credits weren't available to anybody in receipt of a housing subsidy. So that meant that immediately 54%, more than half of all renters, weren't eligible to receive that credit. It also meant that if you were on low pay or unpredictable hours, that you may not earn enough to actually take advantage of a tax credit. So there were so many people left outside of this. We also saw no commitment in terms of extending the moratorium on rent. So we need to be very clear about this. The eviction, it's being called an eviction ban, but it's not. It's an eviction moratorium. It's just a pause on what landlords can do once the moratorium is lifted at the end of next month. So we were disappointed to see that there wasn't more assurance for tenants in terms of the long-term sustainability. We're seeking and continue to seek legislative change in that regard so that there is more security for tenants, so that, you know, if a landlord wants to sell or they want to renovate or they want to you know, move in themselves, that there's more put in place to support tenants to make sure that they have reasonable expectations when it comes to their long-term accommodation.
All right. Just in terms of, you know, your feelings on the rates of social welfare and a number of issues there, you felt they fell short both in the last budget and the measures announced today. What improvements will you be looking for and why over the course of the next year? Would you hope that the government isn't true to its word and announces more cost of living expenditure, or will you be focusing your fire on budget 2024 from here on in?
Well, you know, we're great multitaskers, so I think we could probably do both. I mean, I would expect that we will see more towards the middle of this year. I don't think that this is going to be the last kind of tokenistic payment being made, because again, we're, you know, cost of living is increasing and it's continuing. The Taoiseach came out today and said that he would hope that there would be a slowdown in terms of the rates of inflation, but a slowdown is still baking in the cost of living increases that we have already seen. So we would expect to see more. We're still looking for that €8, that gap between what was asked for and what was given in budget 2023. But we want to see a move, again, as we've always asked for, but again in budget 24, we want to see a move towards benchmarking so that there is a guarantee of some level of income adequacy for those on the lowest income.
OK. Colette Bennett, Economic and Social Analyst with Social Justice Ireland, thanks for joining us. Tim Lombard, there's a number of criticisms there of the, I suppose, structural poverty issues not being addressed by one-off payments. People need certainty. They need to be able to plan from week to week. And a one-off measure isn't going to help them do that.
I think there's been a real significant injection in the economy today. €1.3 billion has been put into the economy. And there are targeted measures that help the most vulnerable, to help everyone in society. And if you look at what we've done off the back of Budget 2020, the previous budget, where we put another €11 billion, if you include this, into the economy, it's a really significant investment. And there are long-term goals here, like we've increased the social welfare payment, we increased money for childcare, we did stuff regarding public transportation. We made really significant long-term policy changes, which haven't been acknowledged by a previous speaker. And what we've really done here is we've managed the economy appropriately so we can invest in this. And now we have the opportunity, because we've managed this process very, very competently, to invest again when we need to next October, when the next budget is. This is about trying to manage the economy so we can have the package that we've put in place, which is really significant.
And is there anything in what Colette Bennett was saying there, talking about people in the most vulnerable situations who missed out on some of, for example, the tax break benefits? Is there anything there that would make you look at maybe some of the universal benefits that were given out today and say maybe they could have been better targeted?
I look at the universal benefits that are given out today, whether it's 100 crees, like the school allowance for every single child. That's a really significant step. It's a really positive statement. Like, there's been so many elements here. The €200 once-off payment for people who are, you know, on social welfare payments. That's a really significant statement. Like, we are trying to manage an economy. We're trying to make sure that we actually get fair bang for our buck. There is an awful lot of drive on our society to make sure we can actually spend money. But €1.3 billion has been pumped into the economy. Hard choices were made today to make sure we have the opportunity in the next budget to do something similar if we need to.
What was the hardest choice before I go to the rest of the panel?
I think the hardest choice is the energy credit. And I think that was a really hard choice. It was €400 million if we were to go down that line of bringing the energy credit.
All right.
And we didn't go down that line. We moved into other avenues to make sure we could have a cross-society approach.
Rory O'Murrahu, one of Colette Bennett's criticisms there was that despite the increase of €12 in the last budget, that it was €8 short. But if you add up the €200 social welfare rate bonus, the €100 child benefit, the €100 back to school benefit, it's a cumulative 400. It nearly hits what €8 a week would be.
Right, yeah, you're dealing with a considerable payment, but it is, like she said, this is a short-term, right, directed payment. But the problem is, if you're talking about people who are on social welfare, they've had a 7% real-term reduction in the money they have, and people on pensions have had an 8% reduction just on the basis of inflation. So you're starting from a particularly bad place. So what we had called for was obviously particular actions in around this spring. We can then review that, obviously, you know, into the summer at a later stage. Now, I don't welcome the fact that Michael McGrath and others in government have talked about this is all we're doing. We don't know what the future holds. Look, the whole point that we had during the period of COVID was there's severe pressure on. We need to make sure we keep the show afloat, and we need to make sure that we look after people.
Right. Tim Lumbert mentioned hard choices there. What hard choice would you have made? Who would you have disappointed today? Listener Sean texting in from Dublin, who I detect from his Twitter handle, which is cop Dublin 81, is disappointed not only with the budget but probably in the result in tonight's match as well. He says the choice government made today was to give 300 million to the hospitality sector instead of giving more to the most vulnerable. Would you have not given that?
No. We all accept that the hospitality sector has been under severe pressure, so now would not be the time in relation to a cut in relation to
right.
that.
So what but would have been the overall size? What I'm asking, I suppose, is what would have been the overall size? Instead of 1.3 billion, what would you have put on the table cumulatively?
We were looking at 2 billion on the basis of this year we're still talking about a 6 billion surplus, and that there are unspent monies even from the budget already. So there is a bit more wriggle room. We're not talking about using everything, but we talked about the fact that we could use more. And that is the, you know, we need to look at something more significant that provides people with clarity in relation to what their electricity costs are going to be. Look, Data said it was a hard decision in relation to the electricity credit, because that's
what it
is.
Would you have given that?
Well, look, we talked about something else, you know what I mean? We obviously would have set that basically people would have had a guaranteed price. You know, look, it's fairly straightforward that we have already like made.
All right, but before I go to Thomas Pringle then, what would you not have done in today's package to take away from that 1.3 billion and make up your, because if you put in everything in the 1.3 billion that was there today, plus the circa 400 million that your party was looking for in mortgage interest relief, plus a cap on energy bills, we're already up to more than the 1.6 billion. So
yeah, look, and we're getting ourselves up to 2 billion, but some of that are alternatives to what actually has been done.
And so what would you have taken out of today's package and not done?
Well, here. You want me to go into the ins and outs in
relation? Give us one example. What would you not have done?
Well, here, I'm going to find it really difficult to say what we wouldn't have done on the basis that what we're talking about is doing more.
Okay.
It's literally, it is 2 billion. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thomas Pringle, is there anything in the package you think was unwise spending that you would have spent somewhere else?
Well, I think the one-off payments for people on social welfare is totally wrong and unwise, and I would have had no problems at all with not doing that. That will do, like you said it yourself earlier on there, sorry, that it will barely make up the difference in the cost of living payments that they should have got at the time of the budget last year. So people on social welfare should have got the €20 a week increase last year. That should have been without thinking about it. And that would have been that these one-off payments would actually, if they came in then on top, that would be of benefit and of use to those people. And that's the problem with this, is that the one-off payments for people on social welfare are not adequate, and they're not good enough. And those are the people that need the support, and need the support now as well. And people on low incomes and people who are working poor, and those people could be targeted. And I think it's shocking to hear that the one disappointment that the government has, that they didn't bring in the energy credit. Why should I get €200 in additional energy credit? I'm a TD and a TD salary. I can well afford to pay the electricity. And why should people with millionaires and people who own multiple houses in this country get the €200?
So would you not have done the child benefit either, the universal?
No, the universal child benefit is a different topic. With child benefit has an argument around how it's a payment that women benefit from and stuff like
but
that.
You
there,
would have given the three other payments.
I would have given the three other payments too, but I would not have given the electricity credit, and I think it's the one.
You agree with them on that?
I think it's the one good thing that the Greens have done probably since they went into government, is making sure that it hasn't happened now. They should have stopped it happening way back at the very start, because there's no reason why any of us sitting here at this table. So there's no reason why any of us sitting here
just let them finish their Tim Lumber
energy credit. And that's the problem I have with it, is that I shouldn't get it, Tim shouldn't get it, Rory shouldn't get it. Why are we getting it? Why are multimillionaires in this country getting it? Why are multiple household owners
getting
it?
Point made, Tim. Tim, you just lean a bit to the mic.
I honestly think that €600 credit was the most proactive move the government's ever made, because it actually gave money to the people in a very, very short space of time after a war that happened in Eastern Europe. We needed to make quick decisions to get money out to people. It wasn't perfect.
It took six months.
But it delivered on the ground. And because it delivered on the ground, people really appreciated it.
It delivered on the ground twice for some people. They got there for their holiday homes.
It wasn't perfect, absolutely. But it was something that we had to do.
And they're the anomalies that we should have dealt with before any of this started. That's just
like, come here, we could have been fighting about who got what, but we just got the money up because people needed it. And that's the key. We got the money out. And like, you know, Sinn Féin were on about this idea of €2 billion. Like, where was that €2 billion going to come from?
Okay, you've asked a question. Rory O'Murachu, somebody here, another texter saying, again, nothing for middle-income earners. We pay for the rich and subsidise the low-paid, said Paul and Tip, who obviously takes a different view to Colette Bennett there. But on that, you've got a €2 billion package you're talking about there. Mortgage interest relief was one of them, which presumably would have been aimed at everybody, not just the middle or people on lower pay.
Yeah, no, and again, obviously it was, you know, up to a max, and it was on the basis, it was a percentage mitigation on the and here, particularly looking at it, you know, there's been a lot of talk in relation to write-off of debts and all the rest of it, but we know that a huge amount of people in this state had their mortgages bought by vulture funds and whatever, and we're dealing with people who are paying anything from, here's in some cases, €4,000-5,000 extra a year, money that they haven't allowed for in any way, shape or form. And that's something that hasn't been addressed in any way, shape or form by government. And it's an issue that, like, obviously has been brought up at leaders' questions by ourselves multiple times. And yeah, you are talking about something that would obviously facilitate someone, because there's a lot of people who are in difficult situations who never thought they were. There's a lot more people who've gone for additional needs payments than ever thought they would need to. And combined with that, sure, we've all seen the increase in the numbers of people who are using food banks. And that's before we start talking about the issue of accommodation and housing, which is impacting on everything.
Regardless of whether people are getting the energy credit or whether, I think the Taoiseach said they're not ruling it out possibly into the winter months, that they might revisit that. But interesting line from him saying that he wasn't going to stand idly by while the energy companies do not lower their prices, given that the wholesale price of electricity is also falling. I think that'll be one to watch in terms of what exactly are the government going to do to energy companies who have ramped up the energy costs over the last number of months. The wholesale price of electricity is falling, and we're not seeing that same level of urgency to lower the price.
Thomas Pringle, you were speaking in glowing terms there a short while ago about the Green Party. Let's mistake that for the beginning of a love affair. What the levy on petrol and diesel is going to be reinstated on a phased basis from the end of the month. What do you make of that?
I think it's probably what they have to do, and the petrol and diesel has come down in price and that there as well. Like, but you know, and they were the short term measures that were brought in, and so they look at it, they'll do it. But I think the what I was praising the Green Party about was that they intervened in terms of the energy credit, which I don't believe that any of us here around the table should actually get. And that's the reality of the situation. So I think that's vitally important. And you know, it's interesting to hear Christine say about what the government's going to do over the coming months, and the fact that the energy hasn't come down, the fact that it'll do nothing.
Right.
I do think they're doing something with
was that a hard choice, there. Tim? Was that another one of the hard choices?
Which one now?
The one on fuel, petrol, diesel.
Look, it's always going to be a controversial choice. I think the cliff edge is what we are very concerned about. We are concerned about bringing back straight away like it was on the day. And if they brought in that cliff edge, it would have been a huge issue. This way we've given a timeline, we've given two date.
Oil the frog slowly, as they say.
Well, it's about giving people the actual pathway to know exactly what's happening. But like when it comes to the windfall tax, like that is something that this government has committed to. We're going to do it. We're just waiting for European approval. In the next few weeks, this is going to happen. And we've been higher than the European average regarding what we're proposing. And I think that's very important. It isn't right what the energy companies are doing. And this is how we're going to tackle it. We're going to bring in the windfall tax because it needs to be brought in.
That's a tax on their profit. You know, what's actually going to happen with the unit price that people are being charged? Like, I know people have bills like of €1,200 for a gas bill. Like,
so we cannot personally intervene with the actual companies for obvious reasons regarding unit price. What we can do is to tie their hands regarding the profits and to bring more than what the European Union is asking for, but we can probably even double that regarding what's proposed regarding windfall tax.
It took the government a long time to get into this point. Initially, they had said they wouldn't look at windfall taxes, that this was all fanciful stuff, no more than having any discussion.
So when we do it, we criticise, and when we're not do it, we criticise. You just can't win.
No. I'm very glad they're now in that space. We need to see it happen as soon as possible. And if we were talking about some of what we were proposing, the whole idea was that you would obviously ensure that people had a surety around price, and combined with that, the windfall tax was like leverage on the companies to ensure that they wouldn't try and screw
and
over
Europe
the people
to work
on the government.
Together on this. Why?
Because tax is a national competency in the European Union. Why did we have to wait for a common European approach where it's one of the few areas that's left that's a national competency? Why wait? Why not lead?
It became very obvious when you're dealing with the huge energy companies, you're dealing with energy, dealing with the fuel that unfortunately we don't have in this island. You needed to have a European approach. And that's how we dealt with this all the way through. And we have got there. We are getting there. And we're going to have this thing brought
Thomas
forward.
Engel.
Every other country in Europe went ahead and did far better measures than what we had done. They didn't wait for a pan-European
approach. Cost €200 billion in Germany.
Yeah. And so, but they actually had to protect their citizens and do it. We
could be 100 times what we, or 200 times what we did today.
Yeah, and Germany has a population of 80 million people. We have a population of 4 million. So, so that doesn't make any difference at all, what you're saying. And in actual fact, we had €5 billion left over from last year, and we have a budget surplus this year of a couple of €1 billion as well. So there's €8 billion that we could have done something with if we want to talk about those figures and talk about those money.
Would you have spent the €5 billion that way in capping energy bills?
No, I wouldn't have. But it's interesting you talk about the windfall tax now. Actually, ExxonMobil are taking the European Union to court, and it's just announced today over the same purpose, over the windfall taxes. And so that's going to allow the government now to wring their hands and say that they can't do anything. They have to wait and see what this court case is going to happen and what's going to happen there before they do anything about it. So we're going to be 6 months' time. We're still not going to see anything in relation to windfall taxes. And that's the problem, is this government delays and delays and delays and drags their feet, and people are constantly sinking.
You're shaking your
behind. I think it's important we're not waiting 6 or 8 months for this project to be delivered. We're on about a few weeks.
Do you want to bet with me now?
It does need to happen as soon as possible, but the government took a long time. It wasn't until the European Union started talking about it that it became okay. And there were other countries.
Is there not an argument for a coordinated approach? If you're dealing with multinationals, why not have a few more countries gang up?
Undoubtedly. And wouldn't it be better that we had gone to the European Union and we had actually said, you know, it'd be a hell of an idea that we could look at cost breaks in relation to
what people are paying, and then beyond that
we could look at windfall taxes. I am very glad we are now talking about it. Let's just make it happen as soon as possible, and we've got the promises from Tim this evening, so we'll all be delighted to see this happening in a few weeks.
Just that other thing that was mentioned there, Tim Lumbert, is that the European Central Bank's interest rates, the horizon so far is they're going to be raised until the back end of the year. Now there are people on standard variable rates, and indeed people whose mortgages were taken over by vulture funds who were up on 6-7%. That's a huge amount to be dealing with on top of everything else. So whatever about your views on the mortgage interest relief, what is being done for people like that?
I think you look at the interest rates, like where they were traditionally in our lifetime, I suppose, around this table, they've been quite low. You go back to our parents' lifetime, you know, in the 80s, they were up to 16-17%. So we were used to a very, very low threshold when it comes to interest rates. Obviously, there's been a huge change in the last 18 months regarding where interest rates have gone. In particular, if you were on a variable rate, your probably interest rates have gone from maybe 2.2-2.3%, God knows where, up to maybe 4.5-5%. So they are increasing. What we've done is we've made sure that the packages we've put in place regarding energy and other packages are trying to help the actual cost of living factor. We can't personally intervene with the actual banking industry. We can't intervene with them regarding where the interest rates are going. And I think that's generally considered by everyone around this table. We're not the Bank of England where you have the opportunity to change interest rates.
You couldn't give people relief, could you?
Well, if you look at what happened with the mortgage interest relief scheme back in 2008 to 2020 when it was originally phased out.
It was £665 million back in 2008.
Absolutely. It was a huge sum of money was paid out. And like that was back in those figures. Where would it be now? It could be billions. We actually don't know. I have no figure that actually says.
You formulated with those protections. It can only be for so much. It's only in relation to particular level of increase. And again, you're mitigating. You're not providing the entirety.
And when you say it's only on a particular level of increase, so it's not kind of blanket relief for the entire cost of the interest.
No, it's not.
What
and then
it?
It's up to the maximum.
So you've tracker rates, you've all these different rates.
Yeah, look, and it's the people on the trackers and who have been particularly impacted, and as I say, those that are dealing
they
with
have,
vulture
but
funds.
But trackers varied from 0.5% to 1.2% or so. And those people, they signed a contract, they signed on for the tracker rate, they had the option at different points to fix.
It was very good for a lot of people at a lot of times. And
sure.
Should it have been better for a lot more people if certain banks had probably behaved better as well? I think that goes without saying.
Yeah.
But we are dealing with a particular situation at the minute. We know people are under incredible pressure, and it's people who never would have been under pressure before. All it takes, if you're a young family,
the trackers were
you're
so
paying,
good for people, the banks were losing money on them, and they were banks the state had to recapitalise to cover those losses.
Let's imagine you're on a tracker mortgage and you also have young kids, you're paying the full cost of childcare. Let's say you've got a huge commute in at the minute and time, so you're dealing with the added costs in relation to fuel. You could be just caught in a really bad set of circumstances.
Nobody can tell me.
No. Like anything else, you formulate it, you put in protections, and like it's a lot easier for you to do in the sense you have a Department of Finance, I imagine, and Revenue. I imagine they would be capable of doing this piece
Thomas
of work.
Thomas Pringle, any position on the interest rate?
I would just like to say that I don't think it was because of tracker mortgages that the banks had to be bailed out.
They were a part of some of the bank's losses.
I don't think that was the case. But I think what the government needs to do, there's huge pressures coming on everybody at the stage, and it's building up, and the government needs to be able to respond to them and needs to respond and do that in a way that actually makes a difference to people, that rather than doing once-off payments like they have been doing for social welfare people, they should be increasing the social welfare rates in line with inflation so that they can actually keep up with what's happening. And so the government needs to look at that, and maybe needs to look at some targeted measures that in terms of mortgage interest relief, not blanket across the board. And they have to look at measures as well of affordability. There's people who can maybe afford their mortgages and they don't need the relief, and there's people who are in difficulties, and the government needs to be able to do that. And I don't think it's beyond any government to actually target those people and find out who.
All right, more on a case-by-case basis.